Stormy wind that blows from every swelling tide of woes, there is a calm and safe retreat that's found beneath the mercy seat. 629, please, will stand as we sing. And Lord, we're conscious of many concerns and burdens weighing heavily upon the hearts of those that are gathered in the service tonight. May they have been able to cast their burden upon the Lord, knowing that He will sustain us. Lord, we're conscious at times we can focus and dwell so much upon our circumstances that we don't experience the blessing as we should. We ask You to enable us to leave all those cares just upon Thee, those that have loved ones that are not well, those that have loved ones in hospital at this time. Oh God, just be with them. Put Your hand upon them. We pray that You'll sustain Your people just at this time. We need strength, Father, from on high. We need strength from outside of ourselves, and we're conscious that it's in a meeting such as this that we gain and receive that strength. For You've said that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So Lord, hear our prayers. Come and be with us now. Come and breathe mightily upon this meeting. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read together in the scriptures, please. Turn to the book of Psalms. We're going to read the 48th Psalm. Psalm 48. We are studying, especially opening verse of Psalm 121. But this psalm has a bearing upon what we're going to consider together tonight. The 48th Psalm, beginning at the first verse, we'll read all of the psalm. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is known in her palaces for her refuge. For lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. Selah. And we'll see this pause. It's there to encourage us to dwell upon what we've just read. And then in verse 9, we have thought of Thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of Thy temple. According to Thy name, O God, so is Thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of Thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation that followeth. For this is our God, forever and ever. He will be our guide, even unto death. And the Lord will add His blessing and tonight give us the public reading of His word. Just to highlight here, Psalm that has much to say about Zion, and Zion especially we want to think of tonight. If you look at the second verse, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Remember, that is not so at the present. Israel, Jerusalem, even that part of Jerusalem, you know, Zion, is not the joy of the whole earth. But the Bible says it will be. Remember, these verses relate to a future day. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. And that, of course, is a clear reference. himself. And look at verses 11 and 12. Let Mount Zion rejoice, let the daughters of Judah be glad because of my judgments. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof, mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it unto the generation that follow. So just to highlight those verses to you. Remember especially the first verse of the Psalm 121. I have lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. The subject that we commenced last Wednesday evening was help from the hills. And the will of the Lord will finish that in the second part tonight. We've been doing a little bit of biblical or spiritual geography, emphasizing to you the fact that the land of Israel has many hills, and that is especially true of that part of Israel round about Jerusalem. The psalmist makes that clear, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people. We emphasize here the fact that we've been encouraged to look to the hills. What is the idea? What is the thought? What help could they expect to receive from the hills or from looking to the hills? And one of the ideas there is the natural means of security. And that certainly is the case. Those hills are like a natural wall round about the city. But we stress that there's more to that here. And what the psalmist is saying is a deeper meaning. You find especially that there are three main hills that are round about Jerusalem. And the thought here is that those three hills especially should remind us of the Lord. They remind us of the Lord's plans and purposes, of some of the great events of biblical history, some of the great doctrines of the Bible. And in that way we can get help from the hills, especially those hills round about Jerusalem. So last week we looked at two of those hills, Moriah, sometimes known to us as Calvary. Moriah on the northern part of, or Calvary's on the northern part of Mount Moriah, rather. And Moriah is the hill of the cross. And then we looked at it with Olivet. Remember, Olivet is on the east of Jerusalem. And we emphasized Olivet as the hill that's coming, because that's where the Savior's coming to. Zechariah is very clear about that. He's coming to stand on the Mount of Olives. So the third one that we want to think about tonight is Mount Zion, or the hill of Zion. And Zion is the hill of his crown. I want to stress that and press that upon your hearts. Can I emphasize to you, as you come to think of Mount Zion tonight, that Zion means Zion. When it says Zion, it's talking about the actual literal Zion there in the land of Israel, in Jerusalem itself. Sometimes we can spiritualize it and draw lessons from Zion for the church. But I emphasize to you, it's important you take the scriptures literally where it is possible. Now, point out that sometimes the whole of Jerusalem is known as Zion, or the whole of Jerusalem sometimes is called or described as Zion. But there is a specific part of the city of Jerusalem that is Zion proper. And that part of Jerusalem that is Zion proper is located in the southwest corner of the capital city of Israel, in Jerusalem itself. And some people will argue that that is not so. They will say that that cannot be. If you think of those words that we read, it says it's on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Those words in the second verse of Psalm 48, the sides of the north. So those folk would say that gives the idea that Zion is on the north side of Jerusalem. But I emphasize the meaning here is that the city is on the north of Zion. That's the thought that is being set forth So Zion itself is not on the north, Zion itself is on the south, and the remainder of the city, or the greater part of the city of Jerusalem then is to the north of that. Whenever Andrew Bonner, Robert Murray McShane, they visited the Holy Land, it was then known as Palestine, way back in 1839, that's creeping up nearly 200 years ago. The reason that they went, it was a small delegation just before that was sent out by the Church of Scotland. It was part of their missionary vision. They sent out a delegation to spy out the land. The Church of Scotland had a burden especially to do evangelism among the Jewish people. And they felt that they needed to investigate the situation. So these men were chosen. And remember, the travel then was very slow. They were away for not just a number of weeks, but for a number of months as they traveled. There was a plague at that time in Palestine, and they had to come to the northern part of Egypt. They had to come into Port Said, and then they had to travel from there up into Palestine. So it lengthened out the journey quite a bit. Those men prepared a journal of those travels. It's very, very interesting. All the places that they stopped at along the way, their primary objective was to find out what number of Jews was in that town, in that city, in that locality, and then to find out what sort of evangelism, what sort of missionary work was being carried out amongst them. But primarily, they were to make that investigation in the land of Israel. Whenever Robert Murray McShane was approaching the city of Jerusalem, he was riding a camel, and he was so excited about seeing the city that he jumped off the camel and he ran ahead of the caravan of camels that they were traveling with. He wanted to get that glimpse, the first glimpse of the actual city of Jerusalem. Remember, to a large extent, those things we're very familiar with them today. We see the pictures in the newspapers and the television constantly, but it was not so. It was a matter of great excitement back then. One of the things that they did when they were in Jerusalem was they walked all about Zion. They walked all around the hill or the mount Zion. As I emphasize to you, look out for the book. It's a very detailed book. It's a very insightful book, as well about the geography and the plants and the animals and so on in the land of Palestine. So they give some details of what they did. And if you visit Jerusalem, you should do the same. Walk all about Zion. It's a scriptural thing to do. Brethren and sisters, I read you verse 11 of that 48th Psalm. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. And then verse 12, walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof, mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces. And why are you to do that? Why are you to be so familiar with Zion? It says that ye may tell it to the generation following. So here's a text, this verse 12 especially, Psalm 48. It's a text that encourages you to visit the land of Israel. And one of the things that you will see there, if you go to Israel, if you go to Jerusalem, if you go to Mount Zion, one of the particular sites that you will see on Mount Zion is the grave of King David. Peter said, when he was preaching in Jerusalem, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Note the words. It was something that Peter had seen himself. He had seen the sepulchre of King David, believed to be on Mount Zion. There is a Muslim minaret that stands in the place where they believe that King David's grave actually is today. It gives you some idea of the dominance of the Muslims and the Arabs in the city of Jerusalem at this time. Remember in the Old Testament scriptures, David conquered at Mount Zion. Remember when he came to the city, he defeated the Jebusites. They were the inhabitants of the city of Jerusalem at that time. They were the original inhabitants. And David conquered Mount Zion and he took possession of it. And whenever he took possession of Mount Zion, he dwelled there. And when he dwelled in that place, when he made it his home, it was known as the city of David. Now I highlight for you, as you think of that, there are two places, two cities in the Bible that are known as the city of David. Bethlehem is also known as the city of David. Bethlehem is the city of David according to his birth. Zion is the city of David according to his throne, or according to his reign in the city of Jerusalem. So I want you to understand, as you think of Zion, this is the hill of the crown. This was the place that had the royal residence upon it in Jerusalem. It had the palace of the king. And I highlight that and stress to you that just as David lived there, and as he reigned from Mount Zion, so too will the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is King David's greater son. The psalmist said again, and as you think of what the psalmist tells, remember that many of the psalms are prophetic. William the Byrd, who was an Anglican minister in Southern Ireland way back in the 19th century, in Naas, remember out of Dublin to the west, he came to Naas, ministered there. He prepared a 2-volume commentary on the psalms that helps to draw out very clearly the prophetical message of the psalms. Very, very profitable, useful volumes. So the psalmist has much to say about future times, the reign of Christ. And the psalmist said those words that we're familiar with, is set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. So it's clear, brothers and sisters, Christ will reign, and he will reign in Mount Zion. I highlighted the words to you in that 48th Psalm at the end of the second verse. It's the city of the great king. But those words speak of the Lord Jesus, of his greatness. And it's speaking of Zion. That's the context there. That particular part of Jerusalem, it is especially identified with Christ, the city of the great king. Isaiah said that the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion. Remember the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth, the words that are found in Martin Luther's hymn. And the Lord Sabaoth is his name, the mighty fortress, him that he's associated with. So the Lord of hosts is going to reign in Mount Zion. And that's why I highlighted to you earlier, when you read about Zion, it is literal, actual Zion. So it's teaching us that that's where the Lord is going to establish his kingdom, where he's going to set up his throne. If we were to ask, where will the Savior dwell during his 1,000-year reign upon the earth? Where will his earthly residence be? Where will he have his royal palace? The answer, brethren and sisters, is it will be at Zion, on Mount Zion. And there are many scriptures that emphasize that, that teach that truth. The psalmist said, sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. They just think of the words. It's very clear. Which dwelleth in Zion. If we believe Zion's Zion, and it says the Lord's dwelling in Zion, well, that hasn't happened as yet in all the history of this world. So that, men and women, is something that is yet before us, something that is yet future. Joel said that the Lord also shall roar out of Zion. His voice is going to be heard clearly and powerfully. So in order to roar out of Zion, he must be there, he must be located. He must be in residence, he must be reigning from that spot. The psalmist says that Zion will be the joy of the whole earth. Now just think of the magnitude of that statement, the significance of those words. Today, Jerusalem, Zion, as the prophet said, is like a stumbling block for the nations. It's far from being the joy of the whole earth. The struggles, the lack of peace, the violence, and so on, that marks Jerusalem as a whole. But there's a day coming that Zion will be the joy of the whole earth. And the reason for that is the Savior will be there himself. He will have set up his kingdom upon the earth. He himself will be reigning from that spot. So that's something that is still future, that is yet to come. It's very interesting to think of Jacob's ladder. The Bible said that the top of it reached to heaven, and you behold the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. It's like a spiritual escalator up to heaven. It gives the idea of communication or travel between earth and heaven. And it's possible the angels, the Savior, the saints will move between earth and heaven during the millennium, during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Not something we can be dogmatic about, but I suggest it to you for your consideration. The New Jerusalem, it says, will descend out of heaven, hover above the earth. And remember that whenever the Savior was referring to Jacob's ladder, he said to Nathanael, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." So the Savior himself was giving an application of those words. The dream that Jacob had had all of those many years before, the ladder that Jacob had seen in the dream, the Savior speaks about it, and he applies it. Notice the words "hereafter." That's a reference to the future, and that's a reference to a future time. So I say to you, it's possible the Savior and others will move between earth and heaven. But what is certain, brethren and sisters, is that his chief residence when he's on the earth will be Mount Zion. That will be the seat of his government. So Christ is coming. But I highlight more than that to you tonight. He's coming to reign. And that's what Mount Zion reminds us of. That is the message that it gives to our hearts. That's the hope that it brings to us in this service tonight. The scriptures make clear that the Lord Jesus will reign, that he will reign on the earth, and that he will reign in Israel, in the land, in the nation of Israel. The words of Micah, the prophet, he's going to be ruler in Israel. "Thou Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, who shall be ruler in Israel." Spoken of Christ. Remember, we dwell on that verse, especially at the time of his birth, his first advent. But it speaks as well, it goes much further, looks off into the future, and it refers as well to his second advent. Has the Lord Jesus ever been the ruler in Israel? Has he ever been the king in that land? That has never been so to this day. The angel said to Mary that the Lord would give unto him, give unto Christ, the throne of his father David. Remember, he's in the line of David. He's in that genealogy. He's the son of David, according to the flesh. And the Lord's going to give unto him the throne. Couldn't be clearer. It's a powerful statement. Tremendous statement. Sometimes we overlook the significance, the import, or the impact of it. The Lord's going to give him the throne of his father David. He's going to reign. He's coming to reign. And the great encouragement is that we're going to reign with him. Revelation chapter 20, passage of the scripture much debated, it says that those that are part of the first resurrection, remember that the premillennial, the historic premillennial position, sets forth the idea that the believer is raised at the beginning of the 1,000-year period. The unbelievers are not raised until the end, the first and the second resurrections of which that passage speaks. And those that are part of the first resurrection, it says, they lived and reigned with Christ. Christ for 1,000 years. Remember, the words 1,000 years are repeated over in that chapter, I think it's 6 times in total, so it's a very significant statement as well. They lived and they reigned. We're going to reign with Christ. Well, what a future that is. Paul said to young Timothy, if we suffer, think of all the sufferings of this life, all the persecutions, all that we endure and experience and suffer because we are followers of Jesus Christ. He says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Well, what a prospect that is. May God sustain you and encourage you in the midst of your sufferings today. The book of the Revelation says that we shall reign on the earth. So note the location, brethren and sisters. We shall reign on this earth with the Savior. So what a prospect he gives to us, he sets before us as his people. We learn the important truth here that the crown he gives to us, the crown of reward, is a literal crown, an actual crown. If you ask the question, what will it be given for? The answer is it'll be given for faithfulness. Faithfulness in the life that we live. Faithfulness in the service that we render unto him. The book of the Revelation says, be thou faithful unto death. What a challenge that is. And not just to be faithful some days, not just to be faithful on Sundays, on the Lord's Day, not just to be faithful when there's a special effort in the work of God, but to be faithful every day till the journey ends, till our pilgrimage draws to a close. Be thou faithful unto death, and here's the promise, and I will give thee the crown. I will give thee the crown of life. The crowning day is coming by and by. You think of the parable of the pounds. It taught that those who were diligent, those who were faithful, those who made good use of the pound, of what they were given, they would be given authority as a reward. They would be given authority over cities, some over 5, some over 10, and so forth. Well, here's one of the rewards, brethren and sisters, that the Lord will give to us as his people. There's going to be a crown. There's going to be a throne. There's going to be an opportunity to reign. And part of that reigning is here on this earth, jointly with the Savior. So I say to you tonight, may that thought encourage you in your labors, with all the challenges, all the trials, all the disappointments and discouragements that sometimes comes. May it encourage you in your labors tonight to be faithful. Faithful every day. Faithful even when no one else is watching. When no one else knows the things that you've done. Faithful when there's bitter disappointment. Just to keep on. Remember, the Lord tries us and tests us sometimes. And there is a solemn warning in the scriptures too, that we can lose our crown. The book of Revelation again says, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Just ponder that somebody else could get the crown that should have been yours. In the Old Testament scriptures, Saul lost his crown. He lost the crown and he lost the kingdom. Just ask yourself, will that be true of you? It will if you're careless. It will if you're indifferent, if you're lazy towards the things of God and your service for the Master. To help from the hills, brethren and sisters, in times of trouble, and we live in such days, here's 3 hills to look to. 3 hills to give help from the Lord. What truth there is. What great message that comes from these 3 well-known, very significant hills or mountains round about Jerusalem. Mount Moriah, the hill of the cross. We consider him and his sufferings and how much he loved us. The Mount of Olives, the hill of his coming. As he came the first time, so he will the second. I will come again. And that's the very spot that he's coming to. His feet shall stand on that day upon the Mount of Olives. It was the place of death, when he ascended up to heaven, and he's coming again to the very same spot. And then the hill of the crown, Mount Zion, as David dwelt there during his reign, set up the royal palace. But that's a foretaste, a foresight of what will happen there in the day of David's greater son, the Lord Jesus, when he comes and sets up his kingdom here upon the earth. So I pray that you'll receive a little help today in this meeting from these hills that we have considered. As you look up, as you lift up your eyes and look upon the hills. We're going to sing that psalm together. I think it'll be appropriate. Psalm 121, book. I view the hills, lift my eyes. From whence doth come my aid? My safety cometh from the Lord, who heaven and